Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning, and welcome back to Trigger Talk on January 30th, and it is a hazy day out, but it's cold out there. It's like 22 or something, but I am so fed up with the weather because they keep predicting these snowstorms, and then we get nothing. Now, I do know that some of you, like even north of 94, like Howell and Chelsea and Dexter and Novi, they all got a lot of snow. Celine, we didn't get anything. I'm looking out the window right now. I see green grass. Kind of brownish green grass. But I've got my tractor ready with my snowplow blade on it and the weights and chains and wrapped up with a blanket over it with a heater that I can flip on remotely. And, oh, I am so ready for snow. And I suppose what I should do is take everything off the tractor. Then we'll get the snow. So, well, let's see. Let's look at gun shows here first. First, there is nothing today in Michigan that I can find. They do have some. We'll see. We have some scheduled starting next week. So maybe with the opening up of things a little bit, maybe we're going to have some gun shows. Let's see. The original Grand Rapids Gun Show is next week. The Huron Gun Collector Show at the Farm Council Grounds is on the 13th and 14th. So what a great idea, Valentine's Day. You know, it's been 10 months since we've been able to go out and do anything. So why don't you take your honey to the gun show? Hey, babe, let's go get some guns. Okay. Oh, man, no, that's not going to work. Let's see. Then also the Monroe Gun Show is on the 13th. Man, you could do a dump. You could go out and have a Sloppy Joe and that's if the Girl Scouts are doing it. You could go to the Huron Gun Collector Show in the morning and on the 13th, and then go to the Monroe County Gun Show at Monroe, Michigan, there at the Monroe County Fairgrounds on actual Valentine's Day. You will be her hero. So let's see. We've got Ed from Ypsilanti on the phone with a question about the lack of attendance at gun ranges. What? Hey, Ed, what's up?
Hey, Dick. Well, I used to go to the range and then be concerned about whether, you know, I'd be able to get in before closing time after work. And I took a friend of mine's son to T-Rex the other day, and we went on Thursday, and I called in, and I says, you got lanes open? He says, all the lanes are open. We showed up there, and all the lanes were still open.
Really?
And one couple came in while we were there, and I just wondered about that. Is it because people, I mean, frankly, I don't want to blow off any ammo I might need later, you know, and I wonder if that's
well, common. You know, the actual, I do have talked to people who are complaining that they cannot find ammo to be able to go to the range and practice. So I would bet that is some of it. I still think people are, now mostly, I want to say gun conservative type people tend to be a little more skeptical about the COVID and stuff like that. So they may wear their masks, but they'd think that they'd be distanced enough in a range, you know, because usually I haven't been to T-Rex. Has that got lanes with dividers between them and stuff?
No, they don't. Well, I mean, every range, like I told our friend at Firing Line, I'm having a Biden moment. Don Haig.
Yeah.
I says, dude, I mean, you've got the highest ventilation in the world in here. You know what I mean? Like, what do we need plastic plexiglass up for? But T-Rex just looked normal. They weren't staggering. Obviously, you could go have any lane you wanted. You could be in a whole room by yourself. You know?
I won't give them
up about whether or not they made you wear a mask when you walked in the door, like the sign said. I wouldn't say anything about that on the air at all.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they enforce their policy Governor
there's, I want to say all of the ranges, like Ann Arbor Arms and Firing Line and stuff, those all have outstanding ventilation. Although probably not HEPA filters, but they do exchange the air rapidly. So
better than Irv's gun range back in the day, right?
Yeah. Now, I've got... I go to the range, and I hear him shooting over at Tri-County because I live fairly close to Tri-County, so I can hear him over there. So there's been shooting going on. They had classes last Sunday. I heard him out there. But I do think a big part of it is now there's a difference between, you know, range ammo and self-defense ammo. So I do think that... people are,
something to
a
be
little
said
more
for quality over quantity.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, if they burn through all their nine or something like that on their range ammo, and all they've got left is their defensive ammo, they're probably not willing to shoot that. And I could tell you now, I've been again. If you are fortunate enough to be a hand loader and you have got enough supplies stocked up, then you've kind of solved that problem. I actually this week I've been off and on a couple hours a day spending time hand loading. I loaded 1,300 rounds of 38 Special, and ooh, today I'm going to do 700 rounds of 357 Magnum, and I've got enough supplies to be able to. And by the way, you know, you don't shoot revolvers fast, you know what I mean? And so that's probably a 10-year supply, for maybe a 20-year supply. I don't know.
You want to sell any?
No. And actually, though, I got to tell you, I looked up. I can load at the old prices. You can load a box of 38 Special for about $5. Okay, nowadays, the prices are so amazing. I looked up just to see how much. Now, here I've got, what would that be? 1,326 boxes of 38 Special. And now, granted, this is target ammo. I've got some of it was hollow-based wad cutters. Some of it is like Rainier or Barry's bullets, the plated bullets. And then I've got about 700. I do have 700 rounds of Hornady XTP that I'm going to load up for the 357 Magnums. But do you know that those are going for like $70 a box now? Even on the cheapest price on the AmmoBuy.com was like $69.95 for a box of 38. And the boxes of 357 Magnum were going for $139, if you can believe that.
Have you been to any gun show? Because I was thinking as you were announcing some of the gun shows coming up, like, okay, do they actually have guns to sell, and would they have ammo?
Yes and no. And actually, I went last week that I went to Johnson's Sporting Goods in Adrian. I don't know. Have you ever been down to Johnson's?
No,
it's a pretty good store. And some of what happens is some of the smaller stores, you know, like the big ones, the Cabela's and Bass Pro and stuff, they're sold out of everything. But the smaller gun stores still have some stuff. And they had some powder that I needed. So I went down and got some projectiles for 7mm Remington Magnum while I was down there. But the guns were... when you walk in, it's got usually rack after rack after guns, and it had racks, but there was like five guns in them. You know what I mean? So, I do think, and especially there has not been a gun show in like next week is the Huron Gun Collector Show at the Washtenaw Farm Council Ground, if they allow that to happen. Okay. They have not canceled it yet. So, I'm hoping it's actually going to happen.
I've enjoyed that before. I'd like to go again.
Yeah, and what happens is these gun shows, there has not been one they normally start up in September and they run through the winter months. Well, there hasn't been any since last February. And so what happens is there's probably a lot of and the Huron Gun Collector Show is a lot of private individuals that are, now there are sometimes guys that are dealers there, but they're private individuals with their collections and stuff from estate sales and stuff. So this first one may be, you know, have a ton of stuff in it. Okay. But I would imagine it'll go pretty fast.
Boy, I hope I get my stimulus check soon. I forgot to put it in game stock. Maybe I'll put it in guns.
Do you know, that's what I have a story listed today that says, what are you going to spend your stimulus check on? Now, that was a question from a month ago when it was a $600 stimulus check. Now, you know, now they want to do 2,000, and actually AOC and everybody wants to do 2,000 a month, right? They want it to be a monthly check.
Don't make my head blow up. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, see you, Ed. Yeah, I know we're bordering on the politics, and we are going to talk some politics today because I just can't avoid it. There's too many things going on. Let's see. So Ohio has got four gun shows today. So the Shelby County Gun Show in Sidney, Ohio, the Smithville Gun Show in Smithville, Ohio, the Montgomery County Event Center in Dayton, Ohio, the Dayton Gun Show, and the Cleveland Gun Show in Mentor, Ohio at the Holiday Inn Northeast. So I got to say, there's some opportunities out there. Missouri's even got a handful of them. The Warsaw Gun Show in Warsaw, the Farmington Gun Show in Farmington, Table Rock Gun Show in Reed Springs at the New Testament Christian Church. So very good. Hey, if they don't want to let you have gun shows in the state-owned thing, so we'll talk about that in a bit with California, then we'll go to the churches, by God, okay? And then the Hallsville Gun Show in Hallsville, Missouri. New York, believe it or not, has canceled all of theirs until April. But I got to believe when they finally open up, like on the next week, hopefully the Farm Council ground here in Washtenaw, and then not next week, that's 2 weeks from now, that's, let's see, the 5th in Michigan was Grand Rapids, you got to go, but locally, the Washtenaw Farm Council grounds and the Monroe Gun and Knife Show are both on the 13th and 14th. Those are the first gun shows in months. And so I've got to believe that, and by the way, there have been still estate sales and things like that. And what happens is, and I always go and look at hand loaning stuff because, and if I would have done that before, I would have gotten some 7mm Remington Mag dies for that. But I got some, I made a swap with a guy off of, and a guy got them for me off of eBay. They ought to be here this week. But you can go to a gun show like that, and you'll find that, you know, somebody's grandpa passed away or whatever, and there's boxes of bullets and powder and primers and stuff like that, because I got to say, primers are also, and I mentioned this last week, one of the things that's going on is that from a hand loading standpoint, you can't find primers. And the issue is that there are primers out there that are being made and they're making them as fast as they can, but the ammunition companies are using them all up in their ammunition production. And again, remember, this isn't hoarding necessarily. This is all the new gun owners, the 8.1 million new gun owners. Just think of that. If 8 million gun owners all go out and buy 100 rounds of 9mm, that's 800 million rounds. Okay. That's why you can't find the ammo right now and the primers. So at any rate, let's see. I was going to talk, we'll get some new CPL numbers next week, but did you guys see that? This is where I'm sorry. I'll touch on politics a bit, then we'll get into other things. But Nancy Pelosi said that members who carry guns for self-defense in Washington stuff, she labeled them the enemy within. And I think you probably all saw AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who said of Ted Cruz that, you know, you tried to have me killed last week. You know, I got to say, first of all, when it comes to the, and it was a reprehensible thing, okay? And by the way, there was a lot of stuff that went on there with people that were Antifa and Black Lives Matter and other agitators that were egging this stuff all on, okay? And there were a small number of people injured and killed, okay? If that had been, oh, and by the way, Pelosi came out this week and said that, see, our gun control policies in Washington, D.C. are what kept us from having a bloodbath. Because can you imagine if all of those people that were at that the Trump rally and stuff like that were armed? What a bloodbath it would have been. No, I'm sorry. That's and it's just like when they have the stuff at the Capitol building here in Michigan and stuff. Even with the armed people, it's peaceful, okay? And so I want to say the whole thing about, you know, she's keeping thousands of National Guard troops there. I want to say, you know, if you have to have thousands of armed military people protecting your government, then something's wrong with the government, okay? Let's see. New, and by the way, this is part of the politics discussion today. Our favorite Democrat out of Texas, Sheila Jackson Lee, is proposing legislation for a public registry of firearms. So you knew this was coming. She just, it was a bill that she had filed a little earlier this year, but she just updated it because, you know, it needed to need some extra oomph in it. And she is, and I don't know why she's calling it the Sabika Sheikh Firearm Licensing and Registration Act. I think that it had to do with some kind of a shooting that happened out there. And they always got to name them after somebody, right? But this thing that goes on is, it is amazing. And this is what they've been proposing. And they are really feeling their oats now, okay? Look at what we got, 31 executive orders, even the... The union guys are all upset with the whole, pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline deal and all the job stuff and all the green jobs that, you know, well, yeah, we're going to lose a lot of jobs in the oil industry and the coal industry and stuff. But boy, we're going to make it up in green jobs. We'll make it up in solar panels. You know what? The solar panels are all made in China. OK, so knock it off. But let's get into the part that it concerns us here. This is to do with gun licensing, okay? So let's read this. The Attorney General, through the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, shall establish a licensing system for the possession of firearms or ammunition in the United States and for the registration with the Bureau of each firearm present in the United States. Under the firearm registration system, the owner of a firearm shall transmit to the Bureau. So this is, you know, there's 300 million guns out there, right? And so they're going to rely on all the gun owners. And by the way, this would include not just you and I and our lawful gun owner, but, you know, all the drug lords and the gang members and stuff, they're required to do this too. So I'm sure that they are going to be sending this stuff in. The owner of the firearm shall transmit to the Bureau, A, the make, model, and serial number of the firearm, the identity of the owner of the firearm, the date the firearm was acquired by the owner, where the owner is or will be, where the firearm is or will be stored. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll send that in. A notice specifying the identity of any person to whom or any period of time during which the firearm will be loaned to a person. So you'd have to say, I'm going to lend that my 44 Magnum to my son for deer hunting. This, I guess I got to send that in too, okay? Let's see. The deadline for applying that will be, in the case of a firearm acquired before the effective date of this section, within 3 months. So, boom, within 3 months, they want you to send all this information in. And in case of it's a newly acquired gun, then it's the date that the date the owner acquired the firearm. So you got that. Now, then along comes some other things. Okay. The bill, also has, and it creates a database of firearms in the United States, but it also has, an interesting thing. And that is, under this bill, you will have to be 21, pass a background check, and pass a psychological examination, and have liability insurance, which would cost $800, okay? You would even have to license to display an antique firearm. There's even a separate license for owning a military-style firearm that would require you to jump through even more hoops. And the more frightening is the extent of the psychological evaluation, okay? A, the evaluation is conducted in compliance with such standards as shall be established by the Attorney General. You know, like, I don't know who it is, Garrett Marklund, whatever his name is. And just think if it was still, what's his name, that we had before. You know, they were very, very anti-gun. So if you had any kind of got to check your Facebook post. Oh, this guy's a conservative, so he must not, he's got to be unstable. He's a hater, okay? The evaluation is conducted by a licensed psychologist approved by the Attorney General. As deemed necessary by the licensed psychologist involved, the evaluation includes a psychological evaluation of members of the household in which the individual resides. So they're going to have to do the psychological evaluation on your wife or your kids and all that stuff. And as part of the psychological evaluation, the licensed psychologist interviewed any spouse of the individual, any former spouse of the individual, and at least two other persons who are a member of the family or an associate of the individual to further determine the state of their mental, emotional, and relational stability of the individual. Yes, that's right. They get to interview your ex-wife or your ex-husband or your... the people at work to see what this is where they want to go with this. Okay. Now I've tried for the last month or more to be as non-political as possible, but some of this stuff is ridiculous. Well, all of this is ridiculous. Okay. Then the Democrats there's a Democrat senator working on an encrypted gun registry. Well, he doesn't think that we can have a national registry, but we could have, oh, by the way, this registry that Sheila Jackson Lee wants to have, it is available to anybody in the government and any public person, to the general public. So, gosh, if somebody wants to see, who is going to have a gun in your homeowners association or the neighbor down the street or, you know, anything like that. Oh, general public. Yeah, we can do that. We've got Mike from Gregory, and he's on the phone with a question about House Bill 5717. I don't recall that one. What is that one, Mike?
Yeah. Good morning. Yeah, Dick, it's something I was reading online a couple of times in the last couple of days. It just surfaced, but I'm trying to go back to this 5717 House bill, and if I'm not mistaken, this is like a four, five, 6 months ago, but it was never brought forth because of President Trump being in office, and so it just kind of was sitting in limbo. But everything you're reading in that bill, where are you getting that information from?
This is from a bill that was just submitted. This is called HR. This is the Representative Sheila Jackson Lee from Texas is HR 127. And it's based in Texas, but she's a representative, U.S. representative. So it's a proposing legislation for the whole country.
Okay. So this is a if I'm not mistaken, and maybe I, you know, I'm sure you've got some pretty good educated listeners that keep up a lot more on these house bills and that as far as the Second Amendment's concerned, but if I understood my reading right, what they're looking to do is they're looking to crush the gun manufacturers. And if they can crush gun manufacturers, then there'll be no more guns made in the United States. And
we're
going to
take a break. This is Dick Kupke of Trigger Talk Radio. We'll be right back with Mike from Gregory.
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And first of all, I want to apologize to Mike from Gregory because, Mike, these bottom of the hour breaks that come up, they are, you know, there's like Fox News and stuff like that. And boom, they have to start. They start automatically, actually. And so Derek's got it. You know, he's counting down with his fingers and I'm trying to get your attention. So we're okay now till about 11:56 right now, or 11:57 now. So you could call back if you want to talk. But I want to say, when I mentioned the one that Sheila Jackson Lee was just talking about, and there's HR 5717, which I think is the one that Mike from Gregory was talking about. Of course they sound alike because they're all written by the same group. They're just, they might change a word here or there to make it sound like their own, but they pass them into, or they suggest them, propose them individually in their states, like Sheila Jackson Lee. And matter of fact, I got another story in here about other states too. But the thing is, and they all say the same thing. Like HR 5717 says, create a nationwide gun registry. Okay, ban almost all semi-automatic rifles. Institute a federal magazine ban. Implement red flag gun confiscation. Tax guns at 30% and ammo at 50%. All of this stuff. There's another one today from a guy in. Up by Shiawassee, that is by Owosso, there was a shooting. And there's a Democrat from Flint named Cherry. I think his last name's Cherry. And he's out now. And they're using him. Anti-gun bill. Actually, it's kind of interesting because it's not anti-gun bill as per se, like naming guns to get rid of and magazines to get rid of and things like that. But it's a safe firearm storage one because in Detroit, another kid got a hold of his parent's gun and it's a toddler and he shot his brother. Okay. And the same thing happened up in Flint and suddenly we need legislation to make for safe gun storage. We have to mandate state. Well, you know what? There is some things called common sense, and there's also some things called personal responsibility here, where people have to be responsible for their firearms. And if you have little ones in the house, now tell me something. This one up in Owosso was an 18-month-old toddler that shot his 3-year-old brother in the neck, okay? Well, I'll tell you what. I have grandkids that are 3 or 2.5, and they would have, and when he was 18 months, he would have had difficulty even picking up a gun, okay, because of the weight of it, and then trying to do the trigger while pointing it at your brother, okay, the 3-year-old and the 5-year-old would have difficulty with some of that. So the point is that if the guns are stored safely and correctly, you cannot mandate. And he said, well, it'd be voluntary. Okay. But, and it shows him, of course he's standing there with a wood duck he shot with his camo on. And then it shows him sitting in his house with his Elmer Fudd, plaid, red plaid shirt on. And he's looking at his gun safe, which by the way, is not a gun safe. It's a storage cabinet. It's just one with one of the single tubular locks on it. Okay. That's good enough to keep a gun away from a 2 or 3 or 4 year old, but it won't prevent somebody from, you know, like a teenager from getting in because you could get in with a screwdriver. Okay. So it just is so silly, the stuff that they're wanting to do. And I want to say, the plethora of these children shooting each other tend to be in bad situations in homes and in I want to say they're not in stable environments in many cases. Okay, so let's see. I'm going to go back to what I was going to talk about today, which includes let me find it here. So here we have, first of all, that Sheila Jackson Lee, with her psychological evaluations and all the things that she wants to do. Then there's a Democratic senator wanting an encrypted gun registry bill that, because he's trying to dance around it. Well, it won't be a federal registry, but it'll be an encrypted one for each county in the country, which is also voluntary. Okay. But then the federal agencies would have access to the encrypted county one. It works out to be a gun registry, okay? And I want to say, what does that – and people always go, well, you guys talk about it being a slippery slope, that gun registration leads to gun banning and gun confiscation. And what is it that the first thing is that they're talking about? Well, we have to eliminate military-style assault weapons. And to do that, we need to know where they're at. And we give everybody, it's going to be a gun buyback, a mandatory gun buyback. Said, how do we know where they are? Well, we've got this registration right here. And so, no, it is something that they are, look at the bigger picture. And then you get like Dick Durbin, good old Dickie Durbin from Illinois, who says, gun control is a top priority for us at the Capitol. And you know what? They are trying to, this next 2 years is going to be like lightning trying to do this stuff, because they realize that even with all of the stuff that Biden signed and stuff like that, people are going to be upset, and they're going to take it out on their local, state reps, state senators and state representatives, and so they are going to lose. Okay, and when you've got even the iron workers, the pipeline workers, and by the way, the whole, I know this is a gun show, but the whole Keystone Pipeline thing, you were either going to, it doesn't change a bit the oil, or it doesn't change how it is polluting or anything like that. It just changes the mode of transportation. So instead of having a pipeline from Canada down to the Gulf, you're going to have a steady stream of railroad tank cars or petroleum tankers on the highways. Which would you rather have? Okay, a nice, environmentally clean pipeline, or a polluting locomotive or a polluting truck? Okay, so people are getting angry about this stuff. Let's see. I'm going to go. Oh, I was going to talk about hand loading 30 carbine, but I won't do that. Let's see. De Blasio says a spike in homicides is due to the criminal justice being on pause. What? Oh, well, it's because of the COVID-19 and all that. The criminal justice system is on pause. Well, wait a minute. Isn't this the criminal justice system that you guys are all wanting to defund? So I think the spike in homicides are due to lack of policing and lack of support for law enforcement. By the way, I find this interesting. 2020 saw unprecedented murder spike in major U.S. cities. Seattle, up 74%. New Orleans, up 61%. Atlanta, 57.9%. Chicago, 55.5%. Boston, 54.1%. Portland, 51.5%. Houston, 42%. The lowest was Las Vegas, okay? Because there was New York at 39%, San Francisco, 32%, Los Angeles, 30%, Washington, D.C., 20%, and Las Vegas, 14%. You know who's not on there? Detroit, okay? Because thanks to our tough Jim Douglas and his police department that said, we're not going to allow any of this stuff to happen in our city. We don't believe in this, okay? And what happened? Boom. They're not even on the list for it. Let's see. Washington State's High Capacity Magazine ban. Again, here they're feeling their oats. So they are going to push their Senate Bill 5078, which would ban high capacity magazines carrying more than 10 rounds and has fines of $5,000 for a violator. Oh, okay. Yeah, they're going to have a lot of underground magazines at this point. We got James Craig. Yeah, that's what I said, Jim Craig. Didn't I say that? What did I say, Derek? Jim Daniels?
You said Douglas.
Oh, okay. James Craig. I'm sorry. I thought I said James Craig, so thank you very much for correcting me there. Let's see. Now, here's the joke of the day, okay? I don't know if anybody saw this morning, but and this just happened yesterday, that the Nobel Commission, the Nobel Peace Prize, has nominated Black Lives Matter for a Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, it's studies have shown that they've been mostly peaceful. Of course, there's been incidents, but most have been caused by activities by police or counter-protesters. No, I don't think so. Okay, so that was the joke of the day. Black Lives Matter movement has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, if you can believe that. That just shows how everything is topsy-turvy. Everything is upside down right now. What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. By the way, that was my joke of the day, but it reminded me. Does anybody remember who watched Monty Python? Raise your hand if you're listening and you watched Monty Python. And Monty Python had a thing that they called the world's deadliest joke. Okay, and it was a joke that was so powerful that it caused their enemies to die laughing. And so they would like in a war, they would have a megaphone and they would yell out the joke, and then the opposing army would all start laughing, and then they would all die laughing. And the joke still, I laugh so much when I hear it. It was the killer joke, the world's most deadly joke. My dog has no nose. My dog has no nose. And so the guy goes, well, how does he smell? And the answer is awful. Okay. I think that, it was so silly that it was fun. But for those of you who are out there, even now, Derek is not laughing at that. Okay. I can see him here. He's not laughing at that because he's not the Monty Python generation, okay? We grew up with Monty Python. So at any rate, let's see what else was I going to talk about today. I talked about primers and gun ammunition shortages. Aero Precision is a company that makes, actually, I think they own Dillon, which is Dillon Press, you know, the hand-loading presses. And they are moving out of Tacoma, Washington. They also make a lot of military, I want to say, things for stuff like the electric Gatling guns and things like that. I mean, they're a big-time gun manufacturer, and they're moving out of Tacoma, Washington, in response to the guns and ammo taxes. So good for them, you know. When I keep hearing of all the things, I don't remember if I talked about it last week. There was a company that was deplatformed, let's call it. They were making concealed carry equipment and stuff like that, and they were deplatformed from Facebook and others because, hey, they were selling gun accessories. Well, it was like I said, concealed carry clothing and things like that. And they were deplatformed. And I'm thinking, and by the way, they have these major like Amazon web services and things like that. They control it. So if you don't like TriggerTalkRadio.com, you know, or my website, if they don't like that kind of thing, then they can say, well, you talk about guns on that, so you can't be on our servers anymore and stuff like that. Why is there not somebody coming, even when they came out with a conservative alternative to Facebook, which was Parler, they had to use it on the Amazon servers. Well, why isn't there somebody else out there running server farms and stuff like that that can cater to the conservatives and to the gun manufacturers and stuff, and to the gun? I want to say, you know, YouTube shuts off things with guns on it. Google sanitizes their searches for things with guns on it. And why is there not somebody? I mean, I don't have the resources, but there are millionaires and billionaires out there who are conservative. Why isn't somebody doing something like that that is a honest-to-goodness alternative to these companies that are trying to shut down our free speech and our Second Amendment? Mike from Long Island, New York, is on the phone with a comment about constitutional carry. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Good, Dick. How are you? Wish you a happy new year, by the way, belatedly.
I know you're out there listening. So unfortunately, you guys don't have any gun shows in New York until April now.
Yeah, and the one in April is in Syracuse, which is about a 6 or 7 hour drive for me. Dick, I just wanted to mention what was a relatively big story this week. One of the, he's actually a former CEO or vice president, of Kimber Arms, had made some comments about a constitutional carry proposal for Montana. And it was this typical kind of, I'll call it a FUD response, you know, that, you know, he grew up with a shotgun and, you know, he ran a gun company, but constitutional carry is irresponsible. It's, you know, it's just a situation and it's going to be like the Wild West and such. And it was so disappointing to hear a gun executive, a firearm company executive for a very respected company, too, make that kind of a comment.
And he received a lot of backlash. I didn't see that. I would think that especially because Kimber, although they do make a few long guns and things like that, they're known for their handguns, right? So I did not see that. I'll have to research that out. But was there a backlash?
Oh, yeah, there was a tremendous backlash, and the Kimber company came back with a response to it, kind of disassociating themselves from him. But it was a wishy-washy response. Instead of coming out and saying, you know, hey, you know, we firmly support Second Amendment rights, it was more trying to cover their butts about the fact that an exec had made an off comment like that.
Is he an existing exec or a former exec?
He retired, I think, like last year. I forget his name at the moment, but if you do a quick search on it'll pop up because there were every forum had it.
I'll look for that. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. I've got to say that some of these guys are virtue signaling for themselves, mm-hmm. if not for their company. But the other thing is sometimes a CEO, and I don't know about Kimber, whether it is solely still like family owned or what, but some of these guys are just like where, was it Cerberus and stuff that bought up gun companies and then they put CEOs in that are actually accountants and business people as opposed to real gun people?
Kimber historically has been a New York company.
Right.
I hate to bash my own state, but it's worth bashing. It's possible that, you know, the way that they hired was exactly as you said, which is maybe he was, you know, less than supportive of the Second Amendment from a long time ago. But this is not the atmosphere for our community to be kind of bad-mouthing ourselves. I mean, we have to be unified, we have to be strong, and we have to be very supportive of, the Second Amendment.
Absolutely. And actually, didn't Kimber just move down south?
Yeah, they did. I think they went, they opened a plant in, if I recall, down in Alabama, I think it was.
Yeah.
So they're in the process as all of these Northeast companies, they're moving out of this area because it's just so toxic for them, you know?
It's toxic in terms of anti-gun stuff, but also in terms of taxes and things. I mean, when it comes to the amount of taxes that they're trying to place on manufacturing in general, and then also it double whammy if you're manufacturing guns, what could be worse than that? So we have to tax the guns and the ammo and all that stuff. I don't know why anybody is still in Connecticut, Delaware, and Maryland and places like that.
Yep. And, I just as a kind of a factoid, New York State has a $13 billion deficit. Governor Cuomo is looking to the Biden administration basically to get him to pony up and pay his deficit that he caused.
Yeah.
So that he's going to milk every single company in the state as much as is possible.
Yep, I know it's and my wife is fairly conservative, but she did not like our former president, and just because she did not like some of his mannerisms and stuff like that, but she in general she agreed with the policies, and we were sitting watching the news the other night, and there was like talks about the. The 27 at the time executive orders and what it would cost and $2 billion for this and blah, blah, blah. She goes, who's going to pay for all this stuff? So we are. Well, hey, thanks for the call, Mike. I got another call to take. Talk to you in the future. Yep.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Dick, God bless.
We got Tom from Detroit real quick, Tom, because we're running out of time on comment on gun control.
Yeah, that federal gun control on the personal individual, the unlicensed individual that, I don't see where they even have jurisdiction in a real court. I'm just saying that like that because they seem to have just cut loose from the Constitution and even following the law at all. And I think it's obvious to anybody who's been paying attention.
Which is very true with our current Supreme Court, but if they pack the court, they can put in a bunch more people that are anti-gun.
Yeah, well, so. It's just what I don't know what I'm supposed to do, when I understand simple words like shall not be infringed, and then, in the Ninth Amendment that says anything that isn't actually given to the state or the federal government is mine.
Yes.
and then they're going to come in here and say, I don't have a Ninth Amendment. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but.
Yep, I know. And it's speaking of the Wild West, it's the Wild West to anti-gunners out there. They can, they are pushing for everything they can. So
yeah, maybe
thanks for
it's
the call,
payback
Tom.
For places Kansas, where they're getting real restrictive, like the religious right out there.
Yep. Yep. It's just amazing. And we're going to all have to keep our guard up because, and by the way, they're going after things that are affecting other people too, the manufacturing, the oil industry, all that kind of stuff. So, well,
thanks for taking my call, Tom.
Music's playing, so I'm going to have to wrap it up here. By the way, I did have a story that was last week, but so everybody knows it, that Whitmer is using some of the COVID relief money that they're hitting the federal government up for to fund the Capitol gun ban. So metal detectors and things like that, they're using COVID funds for it. So very interesting. $5 million they're going to move towards metal detectors and other security enhancements to... even though guns aren't actually banned at the Capitol. So anyway, next week maybe we'll talk about Barnhall ammunition, which is, gotta go. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio. See you next week.